Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Here to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. We want to welcome all of our viewers on the Gulf Coast Christian Television Network, and of course all of those that are watching and viewing all across the nation and the world. We're excited about today's program and some of the things we're going to be discussing. These are some exciting days that we're living in, and there's so many things that are happening. It's our hope, our prayer, that we can get to as much of it as we can, but we want to continue today to give you some insight and some updates regarding what is happening in Israel, Operation Protective Edge, as things are developing and they continue to. You're gonna hear from former ambassador Michael Oren, and I really like this guy when he was an ambassador. The ambassador they have now is Ron Derman. He's good, but Michael Oren, he had that position for 5 years, and I heard him so many times speaking on behalf of Israel, and he did such a good job. Like, this guy's awesome. You would think, why did they remove him? But I guess they gave other people tries. But he's being interviewed, and he discusses why Israel must be allowed to deal with Hamas completely, actually to crush them, and why it needs to be a thorough job. And he's going to give some insight regarding that, as well as you're going to hear some more things coming out of Gaza. And if you miss some of our previous programs, we want to encourage you to make sure that you catch them and get updated, because you can go to VFNTV.com. And we have every way that you can connect with us on that page. So go to VFNTV.com. One of the things we discussed in a previous program, we kind of talked about the story behind the story about Israel, Hamas, and Gaza, and how all of that unfolded. It's important to understand that Israel just didn't get here today, and that there has been a history building up. And so the definitive action that they're taking now is important, and they have to do it all the way. And we're going to talk more about that. Also, in this program, we're going to be talking about Miriam Ibrahim, her feet, her family, her children. They have landed in the United States.
Awesome.
And if you do not know, Miriam Ibrahim is a Sudanese Christian who was being persecuted in prison in chains. Delivering a baby in chains, amazing. And she was released. She has been released, and now she's with her husband, American, in the United States, and it's absolutely beautiful. We're going to show you some pictures of the support of all the folks that were there at the airport with signs, "We love you, God bless you." And it's amazing how her story has spread really all across the country and the world. So we're going to be talking about that, as well as this Ebola virus. This Ebola virus is a pretty big deal that's been happening now in Africa. Started in Liberia, and then now it's in Sierra Leone. And we're going to talk about a Christian doctor who's been working with Samaritan's Purse, which is Franklin Graham's ministry and organization, Billy Graham's son, and some of the amazing things that he did. He gave up the one serum that was available to deal with this disease. He gave it to another Christian worker. He didn't take it for himself.
Wow.
And so we're going to talk to you about that. We want to pray about what is happening there and sharing some insight. But let's get right into what's happening in Israel. Don't forget that we're two programs back to back. And of course, you can always download the app. A lot of folks like viewing on TV. They like to view on our site. But don't forget that, listen, if you got to go ahead and go. Take VFN Radio on the go. Go to your Google Play or Apple Store and search VFN TV and download, and you can take VFN with you on the go. Mm-hmm. So you're never without being connected. But I want you to listen to former Ambassador Michael Oren as he basically discusses in an interview the importance of why Israel has to do what they have to do with Hamas and the Gaza Strip. Because now what you're seeing, because of the civilian deaths that have been climbing, now you're seeing an outcry from, people in different nations, people that don't like Israel, saying, hey, cut it out, knock it off, peace, peace, peace. which is really insulting. I mean, it really, really is insulting, because none of these nations that are saying, hey, make peace, cease, you know, have a ceasefire, would actually accept for their enemy to build tunnels underneath their house and pop up in their backyard at any time. And they're forcing the hand of Israel to be able to try to, you know, have this peace deal and play nice. And they're saying, you can't play nice with your enemy.
Mm-mm,
you can't play nice with the people that want to just destroy you and cut your head off, if you will.
Yeah, and the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asked that important question and repeatedly saying, what would you do?
Yeah.
And we'll make a related link. We had recently on The Torch that the IDF posted something that was so significant and gave that comparison. It's just like, in where you can place where you are, and it shows how those same rockets that are in Gaza, how that would affect your area,
yeah,
where you live around the world. And it's just like, when you look at how Israel is responding, you got to ask that question, what would you do?
Yeah, it's like 40, I believe the number is 40% of your population. I mean, for America, that would be, you know, what, a couple hundred million, 100, 150 million people being exposed to rockets every single day.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do what you have to do when you have to confront an enemy. And that's what leadership is all about. I mean, thank goodness for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. His colors don't run, you know what I mean?
Right.
He stands and he's gonna do the things that are important that have to be done for the safety and security of Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to watch Michael Oren and listen to what he has to say. Watch this.
Well, Ambassador, great to see you again. I think the last time, one of the times, was back in 2008 during Operation Cast Lead when you had a uniform on.
Yeah, I know. This is a different uniform. Yeah. It's always good to be with you, Craig.
Exactly. Yeah. You had an article recently about demilitarization of Gaza. Mm-hmm. Is that a rationale? What's the rationale behind that?
I think it's very important that Israel strive for it. Put it this way. It's not going to be easy to achieve, but that doesn't mean Israel can't establish it. It's not the principal goal, one of its principal goals in this operation. There are many precedents for it, and the most recent being the removal of chemical weapons from Syria's arsenal. In both cases, the Syrians used those chemical weapons against civilians. Hamas has used its rockets against civilians, so the precedent is for taking them out. Hamas does not have so much as a military tactic as it has a media strategy, and it works very well for Hamas in the past. Well, how does it work? Hamas or another terrorist organization like Hezbollah will fire rockets at Israel. It gets Israel to strike back, to move its forces on the ground. The terrorists are dug in deep behind the civilian population. They're using the civilian population as human shields. And so Israel, no matter how cautious it is, invariably ends up causing civilian casualties. That creates very painful pictures on television screens that immediately incites the streets, particularly in Europe and South America. That immediately translates into diplomatic pressure in the Security Council and human rights groups. And Israel is threatened with sanctions. Israel is forced to accept a ceasefire. And then the terrorists use the ceasefire to bring in bigger rockets, more long-range rockets, and then they open up the next round. And Israel is increasingly delegitimized, denied the right to defend itself, and even denied the right to exist as a Jewish state.
It's almost as if we've seen this movie before, an Operation Cast Lead, Operation Pillar of Defense, and now Operation Protected.
Unquestionably. It's the same strategy.
Uh-huh.
And I've called in another op-ed that I wrote, I've called to basically give Israel a chance to break the cycle of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an opportunity not only for Israel, but it's an opportunity for the United States. It's an opportunity for all freedom-loving people around the world. Because if Israel defeats Hamas and really gives it a stinging defeat, then that is a message that will be internalized by other terrorist organizations. It'll be internalized by Tehran, by Iran and their nuclear program. And that is, we are not going to cooperate with this military tactics, media strategy that denies Israel the right to exist and empowers terrorism worldwide. If we don't defeat Hamas this time, then more civilians are going to die because the next round is going to be bloodier because Hamas will have more powerful weapons. They'll have more tunnels, more rockets.
So does Europe and the U.S., do they need to know that this is their fight as well?
They have to be reminded that Hamas, in terms of its ideology and its theology, is no different than Al-Qaeda. It's no different than ISIS or the Nusra Front. These are all radical Islamic groups that seek to create a unified caliphate to rid the Middle East of Christians and of Jews.
Is the international media complicit in Hamas's strategy?
Well, international media, you know, there may be some journalists who have empathy for the Palestinians, maybe an antipathy for Israel, but the vast majority of journalists are just doing their job and they want to bring home headlines. And having lurid pictures, heart-rending pictures, makes good headlines, makes good news. You can ask the question, why is it that the deaths of a certain amount of Palestinians on any given day gets far greater news coverage than the deaths of far more Iraqis at the hands of Iraqis or Syrians at the hands of Syrians do? Again, it's the way, it's the dynamics of the news media. So most of these journalists are doing their job. Hamas has no compunction about showing dead people, wounded people, and if they actually don't have bodies or wounded people, they will fabricate them. I've been dealing with issues in the last 2 weeks where Hamas has taken pictures of dead Syrians and posted them on their website and saying these are dead Palestinians, or dead Iraqis and post them as dead Palestinians.
Is there another way that the message can be skewed? Because when journalists go into Gaza, they're not necessarily free to go wherever they want to go, and they're not necessarily free to report what they can report. Unless they're going to get threatened by Hamas.
I don't know that that's a fact, but one thing is for certain. We can say this, is we have hard evidence. You look it through the hundreds of hours of news footage, and you have no problem seeing pictures of Israeli soldiers fighting. We broadcast them, but the Western press has not had access to the fighting arm of Hamas. So the impression creating is you have an Israeli army fighting, and you have Palestinians on the other side. And that's already playing into Hamas's media strategy. That's right there. You know, people have become benumbed in the world to the sight of Arabs killing Arabs. A bomb goes off in Baghdad, kills 60, 70 people. It makes the back page of the newspaper. It doesn't make the front page news. But if Israel were to kill 70 people, that would be the headline for 24 hours. Be very different. Now, you can say that that's unfair to Israel. You can say it's racist against Arabs in a way. Mm-hmm. It's holding Arabs to a different standard, not just Israel to a different standard. But it's reality. Mm-hmm. And it's a reality with which Israel has to cope, has to grapple. And it's very much part of what goes on the battlefield. Because Israel has this wonderful army. I mean, we have a citizens' army. Where on earth do you have a democratic nation where right now 70,000 people, men and women, have left their jobs, left their homes, left their families to pick up arms to go out to fight for their country? And they're not going out there to kill Palestinians. They're going out there to try to avoid inflicting Palestinian casualties. And they're going to do their utmost, even to the point of endangering themselves, in order to minimize those Palestinian casualties.
And so how do you feel being here? You were U.S. Israeli ambassador to the U.S. for 5 years. Yeah. You're back here and in the midst of another war. Tell me your feelings right now.
This country always shocks me, and shocks me in a favorable way. I'm just all the time amazed and shocked just how incredibly strong this place is. Nothing stops it. We are just the strongest society, I think, on the planet. And they fire, 2,600 rockets at us over the course of less than 3 weeks. And do you see life stopping here? Do you see the restaurants emptying out? Do you see people not persevering, going on with their days? We are, we are on the front lines here, and they're just never going to beat us, ever.
Ambassador Oren, thanks for joining us. Appreciate
Pleasure,
it very much.
Always, always. Good to see you.
Wow, insightful words from former Ambassador Michael Oren. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about what's happening in Gaza and in Israel, and you're going to hear from Gazans themselves and what some of them feel Hamas is doing. Some of them are bold enough to speak out, but you're understanding that, hey, listen, this is an important conflict. We want to continue and pray and support Israel, but we also want to see the salvation not only come to the Jews, but we want them to come to the Palestinian people. Maybe out of this great trial and troubles that they're going through, they're going to cry out to Yeshua. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a law society for undergrad students who are in the legal studies program. Jay, I need to know something regarding a Christian law society, and what will we need to do to go about it, or is there like a national charter?
Well, actually, there is. The Christian Legal Society has student campuses on almost every campus in the country, and I would encourage you to look at that as a possible option, and they've got some great programs and great resources, and I would encourage you to do that. So just go to cls.org, but it's the Christian Legal Society, and they've got great information. It's important to have Christian fellowship groups, and they're allowed to meet just like they can on a college campus, on any other club meeting, or a high school campus. They're allowed to meet, discuss legal issues, and whatever it might be, and the Christian Legal Society would be a good place for you to look at.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Oh, my goodness. Listen. Man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Just go to vfntv.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you were just listening to Michael Oren, former ambassador, Israeli ambassador to the United States, and really some insightful words. I mean, he said that Israel should be left alone, basically, to do what they have to do to deal with Hamas. And what we're seeing is, you know, shock and awe. You know, Israel is going in there, taking out these tunnels, at least 30 tunnels already, at the tune of $3 million a tunnel. That's $90 million that Hamas basically has stolen in aid that was supposed to be given to the Palestinian people. Hundreds of millions of dollars are given to the people, the Palestinian people in Gaza, for building kindergartens and schools and hospitals. And what happened is Hamas has been stealing that and investing the cement that's supposed to be used for an educational facility, used to build tunnels that are a mile long, 59 feet down under the earth. And so, you know, these tunnels cost $3 million, and Israel has already identified at least 30 of them and destroyed them. But what this shock and awe does, it not only deals with Hamas, but it also deals with Hezbollah, Iran, and everyone else that's thinking of attacking Israel. It gives Israel the opportunity to flex a little bit and say, don't come get none of this. You know what I'm saying? Stay over there. Stay over there and let us live in peace. And it's almost like, you know, I have a criminal justice background. That's what my degree is. And I've had the opportunity when I was in college to visit different prisons and talk to different correction officers and different things, and they will tell you that a person, an inmate, when they go into jail for the first time, the prison the first time, is that, you know, they're fresh meat. The people that are there are trying to intimidate them, take advantage of them in any kind of way, and that immediately, the first time that you're tried or pushed or nudged in any kind of way, that you need to do everything you can to decisively deal with that individual or individuals, because you're not, if you allow them to take advantage of you just the first time, You're setting a precedent. You're allowing all those other inmates, all those other prisoners to say, okay, this is the weakest alpha. This is the weakest dog. He's not an alpha. He's the weakest one here, and you're going to be taken advantage of. And so even they told me, even to the point of you not making it, you need to defend yourself in such a way like it's your last time, because it will be your last time if you don't. Mm-hmm. And you could draw some comparisons here, you know, where Israel has to deal with this stuff. They are the only Jewish state surrounded by, you know, Muslim states all around them. I mean, the Arab League alone is 21, 22 countries, and, mm-hmm. and they're completely surrounding Israel. And Israel must act. It must defend itself. And as believers and as Christians, we need to stand with them. We need to encourage them. We need to pray. We need to continue to use social media and continue to share things like we're sharing now on VFN TV with your friends, with your families, mm-hmm. and educate people and bring them, you know, this issue into their forefront. Mm-hmm. Because with a lot of folks, out of sight,
out of mind,
mm-hmm. they're just not thinking about it. And in the West, in the United States, we could become so comfortable in our own life because we don't have war on our borders
mm-hmm.
yet mm-hmm. that we're not even thinking about them.
Well, the huge perspective, too, that, you know, some of the things that the former ambassador said was a lot of people can relate to, you know, high school. And sometimes, like, the little nitpicking, the gossip, and so many people will say something that's not always true. And it's just like they'll start to just like continue saying these things over friends, over a specific person, to get all these people to believe this thing about this one person that's not true. And something that was so significant to what the former ambassador said, he said, Hamas doesn't necessarily have a military strategy as it does a media strategy. Mm. And that's so significant, too, because for the majority of Americans, they're not in Israel. Right. They're not personally seeing Israel. And a huge perspective of why, to me, that is so significant was from the time that I spent two deployments in Iraq with the Marines out of Fallujah, when I came back from those deployments and I saw the war that America was seeing through media, that totally broke my heart because it's not the full story.
Wow.
And that's the truth that we have to get when we're visualizing these realities through the eyes and through the lens of media. And just like he said, he's like, they're taking, you know, whether it's Syrians or whoever, and they're saying, hey, these are Palestinian deaths. Right. You're seeing consistently Israel fighting. You're seeing consistently the Palestinians receiving these. And it's just like, okay, is that the whole story? And that's the thing. It's just like, if you're hearing this, like you're saying, it's just like, get on social media, be that truth media. Yeah. If you're hearing the perspective of what God's saying, if you're hearing that perspective of Israel's perspective, share it with others so that you're combating
that. And
that's
our aim here. That's our aim here with VFN TV, by the grace of God, is to give you that biblical perspective, yeah. to share with you what's really happening so that you can have a source, so that you can have a source to say, listen, this is the this is what's happening, yeah. not mm-hmm. a different warped perspective. Mm-hmm. And it makes all the difference. And it's really insightful what you just shared, because you're right. Unless you've been there, you have to just trust whatever you kind of see, yeah. whatever's put
you're
out there.
You're at the mercy of what you're being shared.
Exactly. And perception is that person's reality. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, the I love that. They didn't have a war strategy, but a media strategy. And it really is designed to manipulate, you know, the viewers, and it's to help others to get roused up so that they can get into the fight. Mm-hmm. And really interesting. We want you to see firsthand, because in the crosshairs of all of this is not just the Israeli folks that are being rocketed on a consistent basis, but it's the actual Palestinians. You know, we shared in a previous program how all of this happened. You know, Israel backed out of the Gaza Strip. They took their settlements, took their houses down, took all the people out of there, and basically broke a piece of their bread off their land and gave it to the Palestinians and say, okay, guys, you can live here. We're going to give what's ours. I'm going to give it to you. You can live there. And ever since they've done that, because the whole idea is that they should exchange land for peace. The whole idea that everyone's trying to negotiate is if you give Palestinians land, there's going to be peace and there's going to be no conflict. Well, if that was true, then we would see that it did not work when Israel gave a piece of their land to mm-hmm. The Palestinians, because look what's happening in Gaza. And what happened there, there was an election took place where Hamas received more votes than Fatah.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hamas is basically known as the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, but they're the ones in political power because they were voted in. And now, ever since they're in leadership, I mean, you have a continual barrage of attacks on Israel, and it just has to be dealt with. So who kind of lie in the middle of all this are Palestinian children, women, mm-hmm. families that are being used as pawns, if you will. They have rocket launchers being put in their kitchen, in their schoolyards, in their hospitals. And then on top of that, Hamas is pulling, hey, you, come here, stand in front of our missile. You know, they're using their people to protect their rockets. And so you're going to hear some from Gazans themselves, and they're actually shouting out saying, may Allah curse Hamas. Now, this is a really, you know, it's a dangerous thing for them to do, but we want you to see this firsthand and what's really unfolding and some things that are happening in Gaza right now. Watch this.
Media, Palestinians living in Gaza criticizing Hamas and calling for better relations with Israel. Well, our senior international reporter George Thomas found a few of them and brings us their exclusive stories from the war zone inside Gaza.
Days after Israel struck Gaza's only power plant supplying electricity, Nidal Mihai's bread business has been firing on all cylinders because he uses a wood-fired oven.
We're in a crisis. People don't have electricity. They can't make bread at home, so they come here.
So who do people in Gaza blame for the war? Hamas or Israel? Well, even asking that question can potentially get you in trouble.
Business is certainly hopping at this. Shukran, Habibi, thank you. Business is certainly hopping at this traditional bread store here in Gaza City. That's hot. You know, one of the things about talking to Gazans, especially in the midst of this conflict, is you can never get an honest answer, because the reality is that many of the folks here are afraid. They're afraid to criticize the Hamas government.
We asked Milhai if Hamas has been good for Gaza. He smiled, then blamed Israel.
They're responsible. They must stop this war. Stop using bombs and missiles against civilian people.
But others like Faiza Ahmed Zahanin, whose family has reported ties to Hamas, told CBN News she wasn't afraid to criticize the group Israel and the U.S. have labeled a terrorist organization.
The government in Gaza doesn't do anything, even on the radio. They don't talk about how we are suffering. May Allah curse them.
A poll taken days before the conflict started found that 70% of Gazans supported better relations with the Jewish state. Ragda Hejazi is one of them.
We need peace with the Jewish people. Good relations, not war.
A mother of five, Hejazi says Hamas has to change itself and bring stability to the region.
Hamas needs to find a way to solve these differences with Israel, America, and Arab countries.
Some, like Salim Hejazi, want to see brighter economic days on the Gaza Strip.
My message to the Israelis and Palestinians is this: find a way to solve the issues so that we can live an honorable life, a good life.
Weeks into that bloody war, Hejazi has had enough.
We need to be united and have peace.
George Thomas, CBN News, the Gaza Strip.
We're going to continue to share about this when we get back from the break, but you're hearing firsthand from Gazans. I mean, you're not seeing this on some major news network. You're hearing from Gazans saying, Hamas is not doing good here. Please do everything you can. Get us some peace. We're going to discuss this more when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And he came and he was so excited because he found out how to bring God's presence in. He wanted the power of God, the presence of God, who delivered him through all these things. And he's dancing with all of his might. He's dancing and bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. And he's dancing so much, and all the flutes and musicians and all the things going on. And he dances literally out of his clothes. And today we would say all he had on was his boxers by the time he danced. But he was so excited. He didn't care what people thought about him. God is showing me that if we want what Charles had in 1906, we got to believe that. We don't care. The thing that Charles had going for him, people already hated him already. You know, get hated by somebody. Jiminy, they probably do already. They're just flattering you. But listen, they hated him already. He was rejected because he was an African-American. And this evilness inside of this nation, the history that happened in this nation, he was over folks already. He didn't care what they said. You need to get over him. I mean, God specifically spoke to me in so many different ways. I mean, you're living right now. We're meeting in this studio that was founded. This community was founded in 1908, the very same time that Azusa Street was being poured out. This community was founded because it was water that was brought here to this particular community. Happened during Azusa Street. I'm going off to spend time with God, and they said, listen, we're going to put you in 1906, the unit. The Holy Spirit says, that's the year Azusa Street happened. I'm like, really? And I go and look, it's like, yeah, it is. And then I'm going there, and then all of a sudden, a South African calls me in the place of sabbatical in America, and he tells me what America needs is another Azusa Street, and he begins to pray for me. I'm like, oh my goodness, it's going to happen if we believe.
You've just been listening to a moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at VFNDreamCenter.org. That's VFNDreamCenter.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation. And this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And my goodness, we just heard from George Thomas with CBN discussing and reporting from Gaza and hearing from Gazans themselves.
Powerful.
Listen, 70% of Gazans support better relations between the Jewish state. 70%. Wow. So you could say that probably the issue is not the Gazans, it's actually Hamas, who's ruling the Gazan people and who are in power. And so, you know, you got a nation right now that has no electricity. It's been, you know, several weeks now. We're going into a month, you know, and look what's happening. And they don't, they continually break the ceasefire agreements. Israel has honored all of them. They've had about six of them at least by now, but who knows? You almost lose track of them because there's so many that are, they call them for humanitarian reasons, for aid to get in there. And every single time that they call a ceasefire, you know, Hamas just breaks them and continues to do whatever they want to do. They're just a rebellious cell that's out of control. And that's the need for Israel to be there. But it's really refreshing to hear the Gazan people say, listen, one lady particularly says, I'm not afraid. The Gazan people, they don't, Hamas, they don't tell us anything. They don't talk to us over the radio. They don't share anything with us. They don't care about us. And that's the difference. The difference is that Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, says that, you know, we use our missiles to defend our people, but Hamas uses their people to defend their missiles. This should not be. This should not be, and the world should no longer be duped by that. So we want to encourage you, get involved, support organizations like CUFI, Christians United for Israel, that are there, that are supporting policies and you know, good causes for Israel. You want to support them. You continue to support organizations like, you know, and news media like VFN TV that does their very best to bring you a perspective that's not, you know, twisted in any kind of way. But God's grace, though, we try to bring a biblical perspective to what you're seeing and what you're hearing so that you can be informed as a believer and as a Christian how to pray, how to get involved. Our prayers make a difference. We live in the most powerful country in the world, and believe me, your voice matters. And together, together, we can do this together. Mm-hmm. Prayer, humbly crying out to God. Don't forget that we are in the middle of the four blood moons, and often it starts with tears and it ends with joy. We want to step up, if you will, ratchet up our prayers and be there in a time like this, because, you know, you ever see those people that show up when the game is over and it's like, I'm with you. I'm like, we don't need you in the fourth quarter in the locker room. Right. We needed you in halftime when we were losing, you know, 25 to nothing. Don't get excited at the last few seconds of the game. We need you to step in and step up when it matters. And believe me, it matters now. So continue to pray and support Israel. You know, another news, and God's News Behind the News, we want to discuss a really awesome and amazing thing that's happened. I mean, Miriam Ibrahim, you have heard us speak extensively that she has been released from Sudan, but she has not, up to this point, not been, her feet have not set ground in the United States. Well, we are happy and excited to say that Miriam has landed. She is in the United States. We're excited about that. For those that don't know, Miriam Ibrahim is a Sudanese Christian who was being persecuted just for being a Christian. Mm-hmm. She was sentenced in Sudan, which, according to Open Doors Ministry, is very high. I think they're number two country for persecution, extremely high. It's a country in Africa. And because... her Muslim birth name. She had a Muslim birth name, which she had changed, I believe. Mm. She's a Christian. And they jailed her. They said that she was going to receive 100 lashes after she gave birth. And she indeed gave birth in prison while she was chained up. In fact, there are reports that the child may suffer medically as a result of that. So you want to pray for the baby. But through a miracle of God, she was able to get out of Sudan. And she first went to Italy and actually met with the Pope, and that was really nice, and she had a chance to get out of there. And then she landed first in the United States in Philadelphia, and Mayor Michael Nutter actually received her, and they had a private meeting, and he invited her to come on back. Reportedly, the Pope is supposed to visit Philadelphia within the year, and he invited her to come on back and be a part of that if she wanted to do so. Then she finally landed in her destination, which was Boston. I believe her family's from New Hampshire, and there's a large population of Sudanese in the Boston area.
Wow.
And the Evangelical Sudanese Church was all together praying, and we have some pictures for you that you'll see on the torch where they're welcoming her at the airport and greeting her with signs. And it's just amazing, you know, if you just stay and stand. I mean, she could have got out of prison. There was another way for her to get out of prison. All she needed to do was just recant being a Christian and say, I'm no longer a Christian. I mean, there was an exit strategy already for her, but she didn't choose the easy way. And, you know, that for a Christian, that's not even easy. So we can't even say the easy way. To someone else who's not a Christian, I guess they would say that's the easy way. But she didn't even see that as an option. It wouldn't be an option for me. And she said, no, I'm not going to recant Jesus. I'm going to stay with him. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
And you think about how important that is when you see people like Miriam Ibrahim, who says, no, I will not deny Jesus. When you see people like Pastor Saeed, who is still in prison in Iran, this is, I believe, his second year in prison. I think he was sentenced him like to 7 years. He's an American-Iranian minister, pastor, who is still in Evin prison and has reportedly so many medical conditions, they're not really treating him. And all he needs to do, according to them, is renounce Christ and Christianity. He'd be free. But what is it about this Jesus that he says, no, I cannot, I will not do that? What is it when you see people like the two young women in Iran that were arrested? They had distributed over 30,000 Bibles in their backpacks.
Right.
And they were arrested and sent to Evin prison as well. And they were there for over a year, and they wouldn't renounce Jesus. And there's countless thousands of them. You had believers like Brother Yun in China who had miraculous deliverances like those that you see in the book of Acts, where Peter was taken out of the jail. Brother Young was repeatedly, it's all chronicled in a book called The Heavenly Man, actually won an award, and it's his testimony of God supernaturally taking him from, taking him out of prison, opening gates and doors, and he's bypassing guards, and they're not even seeing him.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's reported that in his marriage that he has spent almost half of his married life in prison just for being a Christian. Just for being a Christian. And you think about that. Christians in Iraq right now that are being persecuted, that are being, by ISIS, that are being crucified, nailed to a cross. Christians in Iraq that were eating during Ramadan just recently. Christians now, not Muslims. That's their you know, fasting time, you know, what they do. And Christians who ate, they were taking cigarettes and burning them in their lips because they were eating during what is known as a Muslim holiday. Mm-hmm. And there's Christians all over the world. I mean, in North Korea, Open Door says that's the number one country that does the most persecutions. In fact, Kim Jong-un had killed 8,000 Christians in a stadium. And so what is it about these believers that refuse to deny and recount Jesus Christ? Well, there's really nothing special about them. It's about the person that they refuse to deny. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about how beautiful and amazing the Lord is. Listen, the sign of the times, Matthew 24, that, you know, we will face persecution. We will face troubles and trials, and we're seeing that on an increase. But you know what? Who can deny the Son of God?
Right.
You know, when you encounter God in such a way like that, where he touches your life, he saves you from the pit of hell, he forgives all of your sins, everything that you've done to other people, you know, the way you've hurt God. But listen, there are ways that you can hurt people that are devastating. And it you know, oftentimes we can receive the Lord's forgiveness, but sometimes the most difficult thing is for us to forgive ourselves. Mm-hmm. And he forgives us. And the Bible says he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west, and that he'll make you clean as snow. How could you turn that down?
Right.
And then on top of that, he blesses you and he gives you his righteousness. He's not just only saves you from sin, death, and the grave, but on top of that, he puts a ring on your finger, he puts a robe on your back, and he calls you son, he calls you daughter. Listen, we serve an amazing God, and he loves us, and we just pray that by life or by death, that we can continue to glorify him, make his name famous, and live for him. When I see those that are my brothers and sisters all around the world, because God has called us to be global Christians, not global citizens, it encourages me. It encouraged me to continue to live for God and to do what I can do and with what he has given us to do. I want to encourage you, listen, rise up right now. Pray for the persecuted church. Stand with your brothers and sisters and do all that you can do in the lifetime that you have to do it. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Well, I hear,
wow.
That Chris has another member of the family. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yes.
No, I haven't.
Yes.
Please, would you enlighten me? Is this breaking news?
He's only
news?
6 weeks old. Can you believe this?
No.
Chris, tell us about this new addition to the family.
Well, it appears. well, we got a new member of the family, yes, 6 weeks old. And we got a puppy.
Oh, a puppy. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It's not
Haven't we tried this?
Well, before? Okay. So, yeah. The last dog was like 150 pounds, which didn't work out right. So yeah, we downgraded to 2 pounds.
This is good. So, this is good.
Well, you know, I really did it for my daughter, Emma. You know, she had been wanting a puppy. And, you know, God just really started doing an amazing work in her life.
Like
what? Yes, they did.
Don't we all get suckered in like that.
Yeah. And, you know, back during Christmas time, she was wanting a dog, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had a long talk about responsibilities and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. We talked about it the other day, but just really started abiding with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she got back into it. You know, she had kind of been an off and on thing.
Mm-hmm.
But God just really began to speak to her and work in her life. And she started just doing things around the house without having to be told, you know. And it's just been amazing to see the growth that's taken place in her life over mm-hmm. the last, you know, couple of months. And so, you know,
you're rewarding her.
So I rewarded her.
There you go.
And she was she looked and she looked and she looked constantly for a pug. And, you know, these things are not cheap. These, mm-hmm. you know, there's one particular store was selling them for like $4,000. I'm like,
what?
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a pug?
$4,000 yeah. for a dog.
It's crazy. Oh, but you get 2 days of training. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen.
Ain't happening.
Well, there was a God deal. There was a God deal that came along, mm-hmm. and so we immediately jumped on it and mm-hmm. went and
so it was only what, like a 2,000?
nowhere near
not
that.
Not even close, huh?
Pocket change compared to that.
Very good, very good. That well, congratulations.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, she is very happy. She is very excited.
Congratulations.
And she's still helping out around the house. She hasn't stopped. She says, I'm going to show you. I'm
That's
not going
to
stop.
That's the test. Yeah. Will they continue?
Yeah.
Once they've been rewarded, will they continue to follow?
Yeah.
Nothing like a dog to help children with responsibilities and chores.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
If it goes in the house now, we're going to have problems.
Right. Well, I'm very proud of her and what she's doing. So.
That's awesome. That's a poet. Dog trainer, yep. I tell you, she's a jack of all dog lover, jack of all trades.
Oh, I know, right?
Yep.
Amazing.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. We're going to jump right into it. We want to share an abiding moment, and hopefully we've got enough time to cover it all. If not, don't forget we're 2 programs back-to-back, and we may continue this in the next program. But, you know, a lot of people want to be blessed and have a blessed life. And listen, I am 100% for
all
that.
All for it.
Because, you know, what do you mean you want a blessed life? Well, I don't want a cursed life, I can tell you that. Mm. I want a blessed life, and if you're a son and a daughter of the King, my goodness, be blessed. But we got to define what being blessed means too, because a lot of people have all types of different definitions to be blessed. Like if you live in America, you're blessed, okay, period, blessed. Yeah. All right, so doesn't mean, you know, a shiny Cadillac. It just means you're blessed, there's favor on you. But there's an expectation for us as children of the light, as believers, as Christians, who have been entrusted with everything, to act shrewdly, resourcefully, and with some trustworthiness. Because, you know, with that understanding, you know, we serve God. We serve the Master. He's the one who's blessed us, and God wants us to grow in that. And Jesus shares a parable with the disciples that I think is just so interesting. I love just, you know, reading the Gospels and listening to how Jesus puts these truths,
mm-hmm.
complex truths at times, in a story, and it makes it in a way that we can understand and gives us an analogy, if you will, to help break down this truth. And he talks about how a rich man had a manager who was wasting his possessions.
Hmm.
And so the rich man comes up to his manager and says, dude, what are you doing? You know, paraphrase here.
Is that what it says?
Paraphrase. That's a JIV, John-inspired version. But he says, you're wasting my possessions. and you're going to have to give an account. You can't be the manager any longer. And so, you know, very interesting. You're going to give an account. You're in trouble. And so the manager says, my goodness, and for the sake of time, I'm paraphrasing, says, you know, I can't dig. I'm too lazy to dig. I'm too prideful to beg. I better find something to do here because I'm, you know, I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. My time is limited. And the word manager means one who controls, one who handles or directs business or enterprises, one who manages or controls resources and expenditures. And so with this man, the fire was lit up underneath him, this manager, and he decided to call in all of the rich man's debtors and starts cutting their bills in half. You know, you owe 10 bushels, write your bill, make it 5. You owe 100, you know, bags of rice, make it 50, you know. And again, we're just, for the sake of time, just kind of giving some paraphrases here. But you get the idea. The idea is that he began to act business. He began to do things. And all of a sudden, the rich man comes back and says, commend this dishonest manager, because the manager didn't, mm-hmm. you know, he's just start slicing stuff up, you know.
Like, yeah.
It's a sale. It's a sale today. You're getting everything. It's got to go. And, but he commends him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, what is all this about? And he commends him for acting shrewdly. And you got to understand that, you know, shrewdly means to sharp, intelligent, quick, creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe some would say streetwise, you know, in a way, you know, like he was on it. He jumped on the situation and he started making things happen, and he didn't just sit there and lie there. And oftentimes there's a notion that you can just sit there. You can just, you know, I'm saved and pennies from heaven and things are just going to happen in my life and God loves me and everything's going to be good. But no, that's not the case. Yeah, God does love you. Mm-hmm. But God wants you to develop as an individual, as a person, as a son, as a daughter. He wants you to learn to be resourceful. He wants you to exercise the gifts that he's given to you. He wants you to be on it, with it. Because he even says, it's a shame, basically, that the world knows how to deal with the world more shrewdly than the people of the light. And we're not supposed to be naive. We're supposed to be involved, engaged in the things of God. We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved. We're supposed to be with it, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we must prove trustworthiness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, think about it. One of the qualifications for a church leader is that he manage his family well. 1 Timothy 3:4. And if he can't, then he doesn't need to manage the church, right? And so it's important that you learn to be a good manager. Well, you can't manage things, careers, jobs, finances, others, until you first learn how to manage yourself. You know what I mean? You got to learn how to manage yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing in life is an entrustment. And I think that we do people a disservice, even our children, when we just kind of give them everything, or people having an idea that it was by their own bootstraps that they've earned it. And so they have this expectation, especially in the West, in America, that I deserve this and I deserve that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's like, why don't we just back up a little bit and say, hey, your purpose in life is to know God, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Mm-hmm. And to live a life that is fruitful and in love with him and that produces him glory. Everything else that happens after that is just a cherry on top. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So you're not living for something else. You're living for the glory of God. So if he gives you a position, a career, it's the position, a career that he gave you. And for what purpose? For you to bring him glory there. Guess what the bonus is? A paycheck. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If God brings you into a home, what a great, what a blessing. We have a place to live. We're not in the cold. And what do you do with that? You bring glory to God in your home. You honor God with your home. If you're blessed to have a family and children, well, those are basic things. Well, how many people today can't have children? But some take it for granted. How many people today are homeless? And some people are complaining about the 2,000 square foot house that they have today. You know, how many people, don't have a job mm-hmm. and are unemployed and can't feed their family, and some are kicking and just refusing to go to work and hate the job that they're presently at. You see, God wants to help us. The things of God are not built by the strength of men, mm-hmm. but they're built, you know, with God, and they're built with man who has God on the inside of them, those that walk in unity with the Lord. And when we walk with God, he wants us to advance his kingdom in the hearts of men, but he doesn't have a plan B. He uses us, believers. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. But if we're about our own business, how can we be about the Father's business? God wants us to be trustworthiness. He wants us to be resourceful. He wants us to be equipped so that he can use us, so that he can bring us from one place to the next place to the next place. Oftentimes people want a promotion, but they're not willing to do what they need to do in the place that God has them in order for them to be blessed. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage you today, and we're going to pick this up in the next program, that there are things that you can do to enjoy a blessed and a fruitful life. It starts with taking inventory. It starts with you having the perspective of, you know what, every single thing I have, God has given me, and I'm going to use it for his glory. And if I prove faithful right where I'm at, then God can bring me to the next place. We'll join you in the next program. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.